My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
This month marks Bowel Cancer Awareness Month. So what should you be looking out for, and why is it on the rise in young people? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Welcome to Let Me Explain, and don't forget to subscribe wherever it is you're listening. Now, April marks Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, so in this particular episode, we're watching out for the signs and wondering what makes you more at risk of this particular type of cancer. Joining me first to discuss his own cancer diagnosis is Joe Grogan from Tuam in County Galway. And Joe, thanks so much for coming on. So bring us through your own story. I mean, did you notice something was wrong, or did you just get the bowel screen letter in the post?
No, Sean. Like back in November 2023, I got a letter from Bowel Screen Ireland out of the blue. I didn't expect it. And up to that, I had no problems, no issues, no symptoms of anything wrong with me. And I rang them just to see what's what. They sent me out a little home test kit to do at home. So basically, it's a sample of your poo you send back to them. And I returned that sample, and in December, then Christmas week it was, they gave me a call to say that something had shown up, and it was came as a shock to me, to be honest with you. This, you know, again, there was nothing physically wrong, so how could this be showing up? So then in January, the 9th of January, I had a colonoscopy, and unfortunately it showed a polyp there, and it turned out to be cancerous. So it kind of just grew. Everything went fairly quick from then. Then I had a meeting with an oncologist. I had a CT scan and an MRI scan within a week. And then I started my treatment in February of 2024.
And what kind of treatment were you brought in for?
So the treatment involved chemotherapy and radiation therapy for 6 weeks. The chemotherapy was oral, so it was tablet form, taken twice a day. And radiation every day, every Monday to Friday, for the 6 weeks. I usually went in early in the morning, around 8 o'clock, to get it done. But it worked out okay. At one stage, I just kind of hit me what I was putting into my system. So it came as a bit of a shock to me after about 3 days. But once I got over that, I said, look, just keep going, keep positive, and we'll get there to the end of this. And so that got me through to near the end of March, I think. And then I was at the consultant, said, look, we're going to leave things now for about 4 or 5 months and we'll look at it. And then I had surgery in August of 2024, and I was about 5 or 6 days in hospital. And that was it then. I made a good recovery and went back then for scans and tests, and so far, so good. They said that the surgery was a success. There was no spreading. There was no spreading to lymph nodes or anywhere outside the bowel. It was because it's such an early detection, it was called the T1. So it's on the inner layer of the bowel, which was great because they could deal with it. And they were very positive that, look, you'll be fine. If I had to wait another year, if I left it and didn't bother with it or wait till something showed up, it would have been a lot worse for me, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing that always kind of scares me with these things, because you think of cancer and you think that you're going to have all these symptoms and, you know, your body will tell you somehow that something's wrong. But in your case, as in many other cases, that, you know, you were just tipping along with life. You just did it. Did you even feel like you needed to do it when the test arrived?
Not at all. I looked at the envelope and I this was the first, that was the first year actually that the Bowel Screen Ireland started to send out letters to people who turned 59 in October. So the previous month that they started this, I wasn't turning 60 until March of last year. So normally I'd have waited another year before I'd have got that letter. But when I got it, like, again, you know, like, you kind of look at it going, ah, sure, there's nothing wrong with me. And I don't really want to go down that road, you know. And I just looked at it. I can remember, I can picture it in my head, standing in my kitchen, looking at it, and I went, Asher, look, it's a free number. What have I got to lose? You know, it was not that I thought there was something around me, or there might be, or, you know, no, everything was fine. I'm not the fittest man on earth, and that stretch of imagination. But I just, you know, you get a pain in your head, you know, you have something wrong, and you take something to take, get rid of it, and it's gone. But no, I had nothing, no symptoms at all, really. No.
Yeah, it's mad. It's vastly mad. Yes. So we went through obviously a fairly intense period then, and quite a bit of a wait to the surgery. Was that tried to reduce the size of it, or what was that about?
No, so once I went through the chemo and radiation, like, that was 6 weeks. That was through to March. They want to leave it then. They want to see, has it done its job? This is the way they've decided that the treatment decided with me. So they decided we'll hit you with the chemo and radiation while you're fit and healthy, rather than doing the surgery first and then going back and hitting you with the chemo and surgery when, you know, you'd be feeling groggy after surgery. Because it did take, you know, a month afterwards after the surgery to get back to, you know, anywhere normal. But that was the treatment that was recommended by the surgeon. So I that's why there was a delay. They left it for 3 months, and that was into June. Then they said, look, if you want to go on a bit of a holiday before the surgery, you know, now that would be a good time to do it, so that when you come back, we'll have the surgery. And there was a bit of a delay. Then it was just a cancellation, that something happened in the theatre that couldn't operate about 2 weeks before that. So it was just a push back. But it was grand. It was, like I said, there was no bad outcome out of it. You know, everything was fine. Just in recovery for a few days afterwards, and just wanted to get home, really. I suppose the thing, you know. But other than that, no, I have to say, it's all went very smoothly for me.
Yeah, there's nothing like that feeling. I just wanted to get out of there and get home, is there?
Get home to your own nest, as I say.
Exactly, yeah. Someone said to me during my own treatment that, you know, hospitals are there to make you less sick, but they're not to make you better. You get better.
Yeah, I understand 100%. I got to a stage like, you know, I go to walk, let me home, you know, because, like, you know, you just don't sleep. Your rhythm is out, your body's out of sync and everything. And, you know, there's a few lads in the room with me. They're great, like, back during the day, but at night time, it just, you know, I seem to drag on. And but the consultant and the team were very good to me, I have to say. And everyone I came in contact with through that, as Bowel Screen Ireland, they run the system through the HSE, so they're independent kind of off that. And everyone I came into contact with were so positive. Every doctor, nurse, consultant, and they just got it into my head, you know, you'll be fine. And I think that kind of helped along the way as well, that, you know, it's a long process. When I look back, it's like, wow, did that really happen? But while you're going through it, it's, every day you're getting up, you're taking your chemo, you're going into get your radiation done. I did, like that, I was tired. I was tiredness more than anything else. I luckily enough, I didn't have any other symptoms. Dad explained to me about maybe hair loss and all sorts of different things, you know. But thankfully, nothing happened. I was very lucky that way. And even if it did, like I say, if it was making me better, you know, why not? I'd have gone through it just to get to the other side of it.
Yeah. And look, thank God you are, and you're here, and you're healthy, and you've been having your checkups, and you sound really positive about it all. Has it changed how you maybe chat to some of your friends about illness? Because, like, I know I'm kind of conscious that men in particular, we're not great at going to the doctor when something's wrong. It's the, ah, sure, I'll be grand, I'll walk it off. But particularly, you know, when you get into that stage of life, it's nearly easier to ignore something rather than face the reality of it being a serious problem.
Yes, of course. And I like, when I started my treatment, I hadn't really told anyone. I kept it to myself, and just the family and a couple of close friends would say at the start, because I you know, you want to just get into it to see. So when I started, I was about a week into the treatment, and we have a WhatsApp group from all my friends at school. So it's a class of 82. So I put it up that, look, guys, I started treatment. This is Bowes. I got through the Bowes Green Ireland, explained the whole lot, put the number up. And they all got back with, oh, my God, someone had got the letter and binned it. And, oh, my God, I had done the test and others hadn't heard of it. So once we got that kind of got it going, got the word going out, people started going, yeah, I'm going to, what's the number again? We're going to call, get it done. And thankfully, I think there's about 40, 50 on the group that they all have, well, anyone that's done it, it's been negative. So they're fine. But you have to get it out there. It's like, you know, as particularly men, but women also, you have to get your, if you have to get checked. It's for free. It's done in about 2 minutes, the little test you have to do. And once you get into the system, it's unbelievable. I have to say, that I have to, great credit for Bowes Green Ireland and what they do, and the hospitals that looked after me over the past 12 months.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely fantastic. The healthcare workers are amazing. Obviously, your profession as well gives you a certain perspective on the end of life. Has that changed at all? Has your view on life maybe changed since you got sick?
I'm a long time, I'm a funeral director, as you know. I over the past 8 or 9 months, two, three of my friends have passed with cancer. Again, around my own age, and it really got to me, because then one of them was very close to, and it helped me along the way when I got diagnosed. And it's tough to be dealing with that and trying to, but yeah, life is strange. I've seen it all, basically, and you kind of have to seize the day and take every day as it comes, but make sure you look after your health. You know, particularly when you get to, I must say, I'm 61. So, you know, everything that's there, you know, get it checked out, go to your doctor every few months, get blood tests. Doctors don't mind you calling into them, you know, that's what they're there for. And the sooner you get diagnosed with something, the better chance you have of surviving and getting it dealt with.
Great advice. Joe, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. It's really great talking to you. You're such a positive man. And look, best of luck with everything. Yeah. We were joking before we came on recording about you never quite get an all clear. That's a bit of a myth, but keep going, keep ticking off those 6 month brackets.
Exactly. It's great. Like I said, once you're in the system, you're minded. That's the great thing about it.
Joe, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you.
So that's Joe and his personal story. But what about the science and the medical side of things? Well, I'm joined now by one of Ireland's leading experts.
Dr. Alan Smith, I'm a consultant in public health medicine with the HSE National Screening Service.
So you've told us about bowel screen and bowel cancer in general. I mean, how prevalent is it as a type of cancer in Ireland?
Well, it's one of the most common cancers in Ireland. There's approximately 2,500 cases occurring every year in Ireland, and roughly about 1,000 deaths. So it's up there near the top of the list, if I could describe it like that. And while that's significant, the good news is that the cure rates are getting better all the time. I'm conscious of when I started out in my career back in the early 1990s, the 5-year survival rate was down around 50-55%, which wasn't great now for a cancer. But that has gone up over the course of the last 20-25 years to 65%, 66%. So it's constantly going up, which is great. And that's a combination of not just one thing. It's a combination of a lot of the things, like people being more aware of symptoms, people being or surgical treatments being more effective, better treatments, more precise surgical treatments, targeted therapies that just didn't exist in the 1990s but are now becoming really focused on particular cancers. You mix all those up together and you see a slow but steady increase in survival rates. And what screening does is it's a one-size-fits-all approach to trying to pick up this cancer before any symptoms develop. So screening is all about, you know, people who are asymptomatic, they say. And that means people who do not have symptoms, like me or you wandering around. We hit a certain age, we participate in bowel screening. And as I said, for this helps not only detect cancers very early, but it also has the what I call the power of actually preventing cancer, because it can pick up pre-cancer type polyps, little warty growths, if I could describe them like that. And once they're removed, your risk of a cancer coming or arising from that polyp just disappears. It's gone. So there's the power of prevention. So that's added into the mix of people being a little bit more aware, a little bit more health conscious, better treatments, as I say, better surgical techniques, better targeted chemo. And as I said, continually we'll see a better and improved survival. And I think that's important to keep emphasizing, because, you know, even when in the 80s, 90s, and even still, I think people fear this cancer for some particular reason. I'd say they fear it because they almost know somebody in their family or relative or friend who's had it. And they probably haven't had a great outcome. And there's probably a generational thing here in that people who are 50, 60, 70s probably look back on this cancer and say there wasn't much that they could do. And that was probably correct. But that's no longer the case with bowel cancer and in many other cancers. So it's not a death sentence. It's actually, nobody wants a cancer of any type. But if you were destined to get one, this is probably not a bad one to get, because, as I said, it's eminently treatable. There are very good treatments and the survival rates are improving all the time. So there is this fear of this cancer that I think is now unnecessary. And I think that would go some way to explaining why people are a little bit reluctant to participate in bowel screening, which is, I suppose, my number one concern is probably too strong a word, but I'd love to see our participation, and we call it our uptake, higher than it actually is.
So we'll get a bit more into the screening maybe in a second, but for the symptomatic people, what are you looking out for?
Yeah, so people, I mean, our bodies are very well-tuned machines, really. And they'll soon let you know when it does something wrong. So if you're passing blood, there's something wrong. You don't wait. You don't sit on it. You don't think about it. You take yourself off to your GP or talk to someone. If you can't quite get yourself to your GP, talk to someone and mention to it. And I guarantee you, they'll tell you to go to a doctor to get that checked out. Now, that's a very obvious symptom. There are sometimes more subtle symptoms. So maybe you're someone who goes to the toilet or, you know, passes a bowel motion or number two or whatever you want to call it once a day, and suddenly you're going twice or three times a day, or the type of bowel motion that you're passing is changing and the pattern has changed. So again, that's a little subtle sign that something's not quite right here. And cancer is not necessarily the number one on the list of causes, but it's on the list of possible causes. And it's the only thing a doctor wants to do is see you coming in the door and asking for help. And he or she will outrule all the possible causes one by one. Also, weight loss is another one. As I said, vague abdominal pains and discomfort. Again, these are probably very subtle, but you're sort of judging them on the basis of, is this new for me? Is this different for me? Is it going on a while? And I always used to say to patients when I was working as a GP, look, if it's bothering you to the extent that you're asking those questions, you need to go talk to someone. So nobody better than you knows your bowel habit. Again, it's another medical term, but, you know, recognize your patterns. Everybody knows the patterns and of your own body. So if it's worrying you to the extent that you're constantly thinking about it, speak up, mention it to someone, and take yourself off to your GP. No GP in this country will have any problem seeing you. They'll be thanking you that you've come in the door. And as I said, even if you can't quite bring yourself, and there are people who are not a little afraid maybe to take that step, maybe it's talk to a relative or family member, or maybe a pharmacist or somebody you might know. And as I said, just get their input on what you might want to do. But I can guarantee you that if there's symptoms there that are concerning you or your relative or someone you talk to, they'll point you in the right direction. Some people just need that little extra nudge. But trust your judgment. You know your body yourself.
And it's the screening then for the people, because people would have heard Joe that we were just talking to, who was completely asymptomatic and had nothing wrong with him and was just going about his business. And the letter came and he said, and the test came and he said, sure, I'll do it just to make sure. And which I imagine a lot of people don't and a lot of people do. So the age came down relatively recently. Why did it come down? Why is the parameter for bowel screen being expanded?
Yeah, so the program started, it seems a long time ago now, in 2012, at the tail end of 2012. And the target population started between 50, what was it? It started between 60 and 69. And that age group was chosen because, quite simply, that was where we could do maximum good, taking into account the whole of the population. And that's where we started. And there was a government commitment even back in 2015-16 to expand that to 50 to 74. And that remains the current government policy. And we're slowly, I have to say, it is disappointing that we're not going quicker, but we're in some way constrained as well by, well, how fast can we go? Because, as I said, we want to go as fast as we can in an equality assured way. But we've started that process and we've now gone down to 59. We're going up to 70, and slowly but surely we're going to get down to 55 and up to 74. And traditionally and internationally, that has been that age group window where screening programs are known to have maximum benefit. So you're putting that entire population through this process in the same way. And that has been evaluated over many years independently, that's the maximum, or that's not the maximum, that's the age group at which maximum benefit can occur to the population. We do have work underway. We're not static, and Ireland is no different to any other program internationally. There are, or there is work underway to further expand the program down to age 50. And I would be positive myself, I'm not making that decision, but that's going to be the responsibility of Ireland's National Screening Advisory Committee, who will probably make that decision later this year. But I would be reasonably confident, quite confident based on international evidence that's published there, that it'll be a positive recommendation that we should be expanding the program further down to age 50. So we'll probably have a program, as I said, in its entirety, targeting the age group between 50 and 74. And that's good, because the conversation, I think, is already going further and saying, should we be going lower? And there's no doubt that there are stories, more than stories, there are is evidence of colorectal cancer occurring in younger people. And they do. And they absolutely do occur in younger people. People in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s. Now, sometimes it's a fair question to ask, should we be screening those? But then you have to bring into factors like, well, is it the right thing to do for that entire population? And is it the best test to detect cancers in individuals who are aged 20, 30 and 40? And right now, I would probably say the evidence would suggest that there's something else going on there in those types of cancers, those individuals, that perhaps the screening test that we use isn't quite good enough to pick up those cancers. There's something else going on. So I think there's work to do yet. I think there's further research to do to influence whether a population approach to screening that VowScreen currently uses, a one-size-fits-all approach, is the right way to go if we're looking at expanding programs below the age of 50. I think it wouldn't surprise me if we go to a more sophisticated form of screening, risk-based, family history-based, maybe genetics, and combining all of those together to sort of become a more tailored, or offer more tailored approaches to individual screening. So I could certainly see that happening with technology, with advancements. I mean, AI could play a role in the future in determining, you know, what type of individual is most likely to develop a cancer based on factors involving their family, as I say, their history, their relatives. So there's lots going on there, but I would probably say for the time being that 50 to 74 is probably the limits to what the fit-based test that we use in VowScreen is currently most effective. And I think any expansion certainly below that will involve other means and other tests. But it's exciting times ahead.
Yeah, and look, it's great to expand it and be able to, albeit the constraints that you've mentioned. Why do we know, and speaking to other, you know, speaking to oncologists, they say they don't really know why bowel cancer is on the rise in young people. Like, is it diets, the ultra processed food? Is it, you know, not moving as much? Could it be a combination of all of them?
Yeah, I think you've hit a couple of points there, and it probably is a combination of all of those. But the answer, the definitive answer, is we don't know yet. And I suppose we're in an era now of people are not very comfortable, myself included, of not knowing what the answer is. We're used to knowing, well, what is the answer here? And the reality is, for a lot of cancers, we just don't know and never will know. And I often use the term, it's not intended to be flippant, but bad biology just does exist. Bad luck does just exist. But it could be, as I said, a combination of everything that you've said there, just the environment that individuals live in, the diet, you know, is there something in their genetics that are programmed deep inside their own genome that has suddenly been triggered to develop this cancer? But certainly these unusual cancers tend to occur, particularly the ones in younger people. There's definitely something going on in terms of they tend to be more aggressive. So something else is at play here. And I think the honest answer to the public is, look, we don't know, but we're continuing to work on it. It requires further research. But I think while screening might not work, certainly the rules about symptom recognition and, you know, if your body is letting you know, there's no reason why a cancer that's developing in a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old, it won't be any different to a 50 or 60-year-old. It'll still present with symptoms in you. I think the disadvantage is that when you're 20 or 30 or younger, if we can use that term, it's not top of your list. I'm too young to be getting sick, you know, and that bias also exists in the medical world as well. So the common things are common. If a 30-year-old comes in to me as a GP presenting with funny symptoms around the tummy or bowel habits, I'm not thinking cancer as top of my list. Whereas I might rate that as a higher risk in someone who's 60, 65. So it's more awareness, I think, that sometimes these rare things can occur. So it's the best thing that an individual can do, irrespective of their age, while we're waiting on better research to guide us on what to do about these younger type cancers, is to watch out for symptoms.
So Alan, you kind of preempted my last question, but to finish it off, and this is obviously Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, to people who are listening and who are now, you know, concerned or worried or whatever, what should they be looking out for, and what should they do if they think they have any symptoms?
Well, if they've got symptoms, take yourself off to your GP and get advice. You know, to come back to the screening program itself, obviously, if you get invited, I would urge you to participate, you know, and there's no harm in it. All it can do is give you a little bit of reassurance and get you into the habit of looking after your health. Good preventative health is what you need to be looking after. Don't wait until the as I said, you're not going to wait until your car breaks down. As I said, this is an opportunity. A screening program is an opportunity for you to take better care of your health. And it's such a simple test. You know, it's basically a little test tube with a screw off lid, a little stick on the end of it. As I said, we all go to the bathroom every day or every second day. And all it involves is putting a little bit of poo on the end of that stick and posting it off, and it's analyzed for you. And it's, as I said, for every 1,000 people who do it, only between 1 and 2 people will have a positive fit test. But it's that doesn't mean that they all will have a, sorry, I should say 1 and 2 people will have a cancer out of every 1,000 people who participate in the program. So it's 999 will not. So, but yet think of the reassurance that it can give you. And then once you're involved, you do that every 2 years. We want to see you keep coming back. But the point that we want to get across this month is really, look, we want you to participate. There's a target uptake of 50%. But in many ways, it frustrates me that we talk about targets for screening. I want it higher. The higher it is, the more cancers we can prevent, the more cancers we can detect at an earlier stage. And ultimately, that keeps people healthy, that keeps people well. And as I said, it's an opportunity here for people to really get ahead of the game and not have to worry about symptoms. You know, this is upstream of that. And it's doing your bit. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, because the screening test works by detecting really minute traces of blood. And unfortunately, cancer is sneaky, and not all cancers bleed. Or perhaps it does bleed, but it doesn't bleed at the time you did the test. So that's why it's important that you keep coming back every 2 years when you participate in the program. We have great return rates. Our problem in bowel screen is that trying to get that first timer. So Joe is the perfect example of the type of person we want. And, you know, first timer, perfectly healthy. And he's unlucky enough and fortunate enough. He was unlucky enough to have a cancer detected, but fortunately has done very well out of an early detection of that cancer. Great treatment by skilled surgeons, and he's now cancer free. And that's the story we want to tell and talk to people. That's the typical story. The sooner we get you, the better the news that you're going to get. And so the more people that want to participate, we will welcome you with open arms. The kit arrives, please use it.
Dr. Alan Smith, thank you so much for coming on. Let me explain to talk about that and giving your insights. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week's Let Me Explain. And as always, when we talk about cancer, the big message is get yourself checked. Whatever you think, whatever, if it is suspicious, if you are in any way concerned, go to the doctor. The worst thing they can say is you're grand.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.